A couple weeks ago, Brother Rob Whitaker was with us, and for some of us, we were here and able to attend, and what a great event that was, what a great time we had, what a time, though, I don't know if you're like me, but I was challenged in a great way in my own evangelistic efforts, and in the need that we have to share the Word of God with those who are outside the church. And so we were challenged and we were encouraged to begin pushing ourselves, extending ourselves in helping others learn the Word of God. Now, I know some of us were not able to be here for all or some portion of that. Number one, I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to go back and to watch the videos and the presentations that he did. If we need to order some more copies of those DVDs or if we need to share those around, that's something we can do and need to do. There were some things that came out of that were important for us to think about. Number one thing he mentioned was having a method. Now, personal Bible study can seem kind of a tough task, or it may seem a little frightening to us because it's outside of our comfort zone. I believe in Jesus, and I know what I believe, but sharing that with someone else can seem like a real challenge because we get worried about what questions may come up. Is the person, am I going to be able to answer their questions? Am I going to be able to know enough Bible in order to do the study? And so one of the things he brought out, and I think it's important for us, is the need for us to have a method to our Bible studies. And that's what we're going to spend a few weeks talking about, is the method of Bible study we use. And one that I've started using, I've had some success in teaching people. I think it's something that people can understand, and it gives the study direction. He mentioned, the fact of we have become less and less evangelistic in a lot of ways. You know, there's a period of time when the church was growing and it was expanding its borders because Christians were doing the work of evangelists. But somewhere along the way, things changed. And he brought something out that really, to me, what made me think a lot, was in the church, we have become more and more inward thinking. And that's a challenging thing to think about. But you think about the things we do, the ministries we involve ourselves in. How many of those things are focused on us and on the church inwardly? Now, I know we give to missionaries and all that's great, and we should continue to do that. But a missionary can't do the work for us in our own lives. We're just helping to aid them in their work overseas. That doesn't take away our obligation to do the work here. And those inward programs are great, and we have a lot of things that are successful, and there's a desire to do those things, and I think that's great. But have we become too inwardly focused? Are we a generation, or are we raising a generation of Christians who do not know how to do a personal Bible study? I think the answer to that question is kind of frightening. There are thousands of congregations with over 1 million Christians who, by and large, are untrained in how to conduct a personal Bible study. That's a failure of the church. We need to be better about it. And so in an effort to do that, we asked Rob to come. But if we leave it at that one weekend, we fail to do what we're supposed to do. So in an effort to continue to do that, we're going to continue to push each and every one of us to become more involved in personal evangelism, because it is our call as Christians to involve ourselves in personal evangelism. And like I mentioned before, it can kind of seem scary. But I want you to notice what Paul tells to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, "All things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's the job of the church. Continuing the work of Jesus Christ, continuing to preach that message. In Matthew 28, 19, we mentioned this earlier. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever..." Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Do we believe in the Great Commission? Or has for us, become the Great Omission? In our lives, are we doing what we've been called to do? Tonight, I want to help to try to alleviate some of the fear we have in regard to Bible studies. And I want to show you over the coming weeks how simple this really is. And how, yes, you can do this. You can be a part of the evangelistic efforts. It's simple. It's so simple that new converts can use it. It's just 3 studies, 90 minutes there approximately in length. Yes and no, and fill in the blank. Now, right now, we have one study going on with Miss Joanne. Started a new study today with a new individual. Please be praying for that effort. But these are things we can do. And so, what I want to do to help alleviate any fear we have, we're going to go through these as though we were the convert or the one studying. I'm going to pass these around, and can you just take one and pass it to the back on this side? Whatever extras you have, I'll pick up at the end. But I want to alleviate any kind of fear we have of not being able to answer these questions with people. Booklet number 1, that's the green booklet. We're going to spend a couple weeks and go through it and answer these questions as we go along. Now, I do want to note that these booklets are a tool. Our source of truth will always be the Bible. These are just a guide to help us frame a Bible study. When we're doing a Bible study, number one, I want to encourage each and every one of us to pull out our Bibles, to have the person we're studying with have their Bible open, to have both of you reading out of the Word. Take turns, however you decide to do it. Typically, when I'm in a Bible study, we alternate. I'll read one, they'll read one, and back and forth. That way, both people are in the study, and it's not about you taking a Bible and beating them over the head with it. They're reading it from the text themselves. Also, as you go through, I'm going to have them answer the questions. Now, in my study today, it was interesting. He mentioned when he was here about not chasing rabbits. I don't know that I've been in a Bible study where someone didn't throw a bunch of rabbits at me in What I mean by that is a lot of questions. And there'll be questions, and some of them are really good questions, but have nothing to do with a Bible study. Questions about the autonomy of the church. Questions about women's roles in the church. The history of the church. Those are all good questions. But that's not the point of this Bible study. And on top of that, one of the things Rob mentioned, I think it's really important, is this individual you're studying with most likely is not ready to answer that question. There's some groundwork, some foundational work that needs to be laid. That's what we're going to do in study number one. Now, these slides were sent to me by Rob. These are the ones he used to use, where we'll go through and fill these in. Please read the scriptures aloud. Also, that's a big thing. I've had Bible studies where someone tried to read it to themselves, and I had to stop and say, let's all read these out loud together. That's important. You need to hear those words being spoken. Also, a lot of times they will stop you at one point. This happened to me today. And they will want your opinion on the scripture. Don't give it. Read the questions. Deal with the questions. Your opinion, quite honestly, you may have brilliant opinions. Don't matter. Let the Word of God speak for itself. If you're not ready, if you haven't got to that point where the Word has answered the question, give it time. And there are some questions that a person just simply doesn't need to know yet. And so give that stuff time. And this is the breakdown of the first book, Authority in Religion, pages 2 and 3. We're looking at authority, the question of authority. After that, we'll look at the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth, pages 3 and 4. And then we'll start looking at the inspired word is our only guide in religion, pages 4 and 5. And then following that, we must not add or take away from God's word. And then finally, are we under which law? And so we'll deal with that in the booklet as we go. Now, for those who have your white book, I should have brought mine in here, but the white book that accompanies this study guide material that Rob put together, there's a great bunch of tools in there. The one I always break out in every study I do, and it's just to help somebody see the Word of God, to see truth, is this map of Revelation. Anybody have their book with them? All right. Get your books out. Learn your books. Go through them. Know what's in there. There's a lot of valuable information in there. But I will always get this chart out. I'll put a piece of paper covering all the information up and gradually uncover it as we go. That's what we're going to do this morning, or this afternoon, I'm sorry. So, map of Revelation. We're going to look at how God reveals Himself. So if you'll turn in your booklets to that first page, we'll begin there. Those first set of questions. John 8 and verse 32, the text reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, this is the old King James. Some of us in here will use King James, some of us won't. You can use different versions, obviously. You don't have to use one version. He uses it here. But it reads the same. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we fill in the blank here. Jesus says, blank will make you free. Well, that's pretty easy, right? Truth. That's how easy it is. It isn't difficult. It isn't hard. They're going to know the answers. Then we go to John chapter 4 and verse 24. Jesus was a Samaritan woman. Jesus makes a statement in verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, the question comes. Jesus tells us we must worship God in spirit and in truth. All right, the next obvious question, before we get there, I'll go back to the chart. You can move that paper down and you can note one thing. All truth exists with God the Father. He has all truth. He is the holder of all truth. He is the source of all truth. All right, then we go on. John 17:17. The text reads, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus praying for the disciples. He's praying that God will protect them. One of the things he asks from God is that he will sanctify them or set them apart from the world by thy word. Thy word is truth. We fill in the blank. What is truth? It is the word of God. Pretty simple, right? We continue going. Turn to the next text. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And he will come unto me and make our abode with him, with him, that he that loveth me not keepeth my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now, the teaching of Jesus was from where? Well, it's from the Father. So again, we go back to our, get there in a second. So again, our condition, our relationship with God is conditional. If we love God, we're to keep the words of Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say, these words are not mine, but they come from the Father. We go on in Hebrews 1:1-2. God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Today God speaks to us through his Son. And then John 3:35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. God has given all things into the hands of Jesus. Why are we doing this? Because we're laying a foundation that people understand where authority in religion comes from. They need to understand this. We need to understand this. That truth can only comes from God, not from somebody else. We go on in Matthew 28:18. There, just before the Great Commission, Jesus says unto his disciples, "All power or authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." New King James, newer translations translate that word authority, but power means the same thing. Jesus has all blank in heaven and earth, all power, all authority. John 17:2. There again, "And thou hast given him power over all flesh," same term there, power, authority, "all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Jesus has authority over whom? The church? Just the church? No. All flesh. So whether I'm a child of God or I am not a child of God, I'm still under the authority of Jesus Christ. Why is that important? You get into some discussions about some doctrinal issues later on, that's going to be real important, because some people have the mindset, if I did it before I was a Christian, it doesn't matter. Not true. We are all under the authority of Jesus, even those who are outside of Christ. Ephesians 1, go to the next page, or the next section there. Ephesians 1:22-23, the text reads, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all." So, God has made Jesus to be head over all things, what? to the church. So no man has authority over the church. Jesus alone is its head. Church doesn't have multiple heads, it has one, and that is Jesus Christ. Again, an important understanding, but if you don't lay the groundwork, it's going to be harder for people to understand these things. That's why we begin talking about truth and where it comes from. Does this mean Jesus has all authority over the church? Absolutely. Again, later on when we start talking about things concerning the church, where do we look? To a human creed? Well, no. Why not? Because Jesus is its head, not some human being. No man has that power or authority, Jesus alone. John 12 and verse 48, go to the next verse. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. At the judgment will we be judged by the words of Jesus. So we've already looked at, you go back and think about this, truth exists with God. God is the source of truth. God gave that truth to Jesus. Jesus is the source of truth. Now, not only that, he has authority over all men. That includes me, it includes you, and it includes the person we're studying with. Well, how does Jesus tell us then what his desire for our life is? Well, the Bible is quite clear. John 12, 48, one text that shows this. The words of Jesus are which will judge us. John 6, 68. Notice the statement that Simon Peter makes in regard to Jesus. When Jesus asks if they will leave as well, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You want to know about eternity? You want to know how to be saved for eternity? You go to Jesus. Should we go to anyone else? Now, this is one of those questions sometimes can be difficult for people. You can start to see wheels start turning in their head, and they have to start thinking about these things. And it may cause conflict for them in the way they've thought. But this is a clarity question. I'm trying to get them to think. We are trying to get them to think about the text. Well, what's the application of this? Should we go to anyone else? That includes parents, preachers, relatives, friends, elders, deacons, for eternal life? No. I don't go to them. They cannot tell me in and of themselves what I need to do to be saved. Now, they can go to the Word of God and tell me, but they're not going to be able to tell me of their own they're not going to come up with that themselves. They have to go back to the source. So we go back here. So we've seen that God has given all truth to the Son. Now, what happens to truth after that? Let's go to John chapter 14. Verse 26, John 14 and verse 26. Notice what Jesus says to his apostles. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And he's talking to the apostles. Well, did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would, that should be, not tech, it should be teach. It's a missing A there. Should teach them all things and bring all that Jesus said to their remembrance. Well, pretty obvious answer, right? Yes. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. When the apostles taught by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were they teaching their own words or the words of Jesus? Well, they're teaching the words of Jesus. They're being inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13. Again, Jesus speaking to his apostles. He's getting ready to depart. He's not going to be with them very much longer. He's trying to give them some comfort, some encouragement. He's talked about how it's to their advantage that he go away. Notice what he says in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. That old English gets me. Somebody read John 16:13 out of a New King James or something newer. Over here, I can read it out of here. All right, so we fill in the blank here. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. Now, we've already noted that all truth, that God is truth, that Jesus is speaking all truth, and now Jesus is then giving that truth to the apostles. Now, I want you to notice something else here. The Holy Spirit, on whose authority does he speak? His own? No, it's coming from God. He's not even speaking on his own authority, but he is going to deliver it to the apostles what God the Father has said. So even the Holy Spirit was a minister in this way. He wasn't coming and speaking something different than what God would speak. And so the apostles would be guided into all truth. So again, we see all truth with God. He's given it to the Son, who now is through the Holy Spirit will give it to the apostles. Notice Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. Jude writes, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence right unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, this question, was the faith delivered in the lifetime of the apostles? Well, notice how Jude speaks about this. Is this something that's already happened? Well, he said, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. He's talking in past tense. He said this is something that has already come. So was it delivered in the lifetime of the apostles? Yes. Since the apostles were guided into all religious truth in their lifetime, should we expect to receive any new revelations today? No. He said it was once delivered. So, next week, please keep those, put them in your Bibles, bring those back with you next week. We'll finish up booklet number one next week and go through these. I want us to feel fully confident to know that we can sit down and we can do this Bible study at home with someone. I think you can see, these are easy to use. You can do this. You can be the evangelist that you want to be. It just takes a little courage to step out there and ask someone to get into a Bible study. Let me encourage you to do that, to continue to think about that, to continue to look for opportunities to share the Word of God with those around you. There are a lot of people who are lost in sin, who need forgiveness, just the way we did. Now, tonight, we're going through and we're talking about truth and the source of truth. That source of truth hasn't changed, as it's always been. Jesus is the source of truth. given to us through the Word of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, the Word of God tells us how to become a child of His. And that's through obedience to the gospel. Maybe tonight you need to obey the gospel. You need to respond in faith to be buried with Christ in baptism. Are you ready to repent of your sins, to change your life through changing your mindset and your actions? Are you ready to confess Jesus as Lord? Maybe you're a child of God who's not living the way you should. Maybe you're living in sin outside of Christ. You've made yourself a foreigner from the church. Please don't continue to live that way. If you need to repent, if you need to ask for forgiveness, we're here and ready and willing to help you in any way that we can. If you have a need, please come as together we stand and sing.